presence of the Holy Spirit here today, and apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't accomplish anything. So let's just open up in a word of prayer, inviting him in here today. Father, we just ask that your presence be over this service today. God, we know you're already here. You're already with us, God. Today I ask that our hearts and our minds would be open to you as we seek your truth today, Father. And we long to experience your presence, God. Your presence brings hope. Your presence brings healing. Your presence brings power. And your presence will just give us the life that you have planned for us, that abundant, huge blessing life, God. Thank you for your word today. Amen. Amen. Are you guys ready to hear some truth this morning? Yeah. Are you guys ready to hear some truth this morning?
Yeah,
that's good. I hope you are, because today I have a message, and I think it's jam-packed full of truth, and I hope that it can just change your lives, and if not, hopefully just give you a little bit of insight. But really, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the words that are said here today, I believe God can change hearts, he can change minds, and he can set you on the path that he longs for you. And that's a path that is just has so much freedom and doesn't have any burdens on you. And I feel some of us have placed burdens on ourselves, and today I hope that we can experience a little more of the unlimited life. And some of those things that can limit us, we can learn how to overcome them and how they're not from God, but they're from Satan, and just how we can overcome these things. So far this month, we've heard amazing sermons that have inspired us to take the cap off, to experience more of what God has. And God has no limits, right? Absolutely none. So the limits we have, we either put on ourselves or we allow other people to put them on us. And yes, I said allow, because I fully believe that it's within our own power to choose what we allow to be put on us in our lives. And that's a hard pill to swallow, because what we like to do is put the onus on someone else and say, no, it's their fault I feel this way, or it's their fault I'm having these issues. But I truly believe that a strong walk with God can help us overcome even the deepest hurt. Today, I'm going to talk about forgiveness. I believe we can seriously limit ourselves by either not accepting the amazing forgiveness God has for us, or by not willing to offer forgiveness to those around us that have hurt us and holding on to offense. Forgiveness is not based on our own merits. It's based on what Jesus did by dying on the cross, right? And it's amen, like he died for our sins. Another way of looking at it is to think that you're in a court case, and you're on trial, and you're sitting on the judgment seat, and all of a sudden, Jesus walks in, and you're like, oh, maybe Jesus is going to be my lawyer. Don't know if I can afford those fees. The answer is no, you can't afford those fees. But he comes in looking good, robes of white, and you think, what is he doing here? And all of a sudden Jesus says, hey, get off the judgment seat. And we step down, and he sits on the judgment seat in our place. And then God, the judge, his father only sees his son, perfect, blameless, without fault. And he can't condemn us for our sins anymore, because Jesus takes our place. Forgiveness is freely given through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift. I love how it's a free gift, because like I said, we couldn't afford it. He gave us in his dear son. For by the blood of Christ we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of God, which he gave us in such large measure. God doesn't do things in little amounts. He does things in abundance. And when he offers us forgiveness, it is done in abundance. Now that you have an idea of what forgiveness is, I'm going to give you some examples of how powerful forgiveness can be. In 1 John chapter 8, it tells a story about a woman. This woman has been caught in the act of adultery. And the Pharisees bring this woman before Jesus. And they say, because of what she's done, she deserves to die. She deserves to be stoned to death. What will you have us do, Jesus? And Jesus takes a minute, plays it cool, as he always does. He bends over, he writes something in the sand. We're not told what he writes. But he gets up and he turns to the Pharisees and he says, any one of you guys who has no sin in your life, you can cast the first stone. So the Pharisees are there. They take in the words of Jesus. And it says, one by one, they leave. And then Jesus turns to this woman. He says, is there anyone left here to condemn you? She says, no. And Jesus says these amazing words, then I don't condemn you either. And he says, go and sin no more. I believe that the woman had such an amazing experience that day because she experienced true forgiveness from the one and only one who could offer it. You see, Jesus was the only one without sin in his life. So he was the only one who had the right to judge her, and he chose not to. Also, the Pharisees realized something that day. I believe when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, they realized the sin in their own lives. They realized that they couldn't live up to the laws that they held everyone else accountable to. These laws of Moses were so demanding, and no matter how much they strived in the religious spirit, they could never make it. They can never be completely free from sin. So they couldn't judge either. Put yourself in this woman's shoes for a minute. Here you are, caught in an unrighteous act, caught in sin, and the punishment is death. And you're brought out, and you think you're going to die, and then all of a sudden, you're given a second chance. And that's what we're all given. We're given the second chance, but it's only through Jesus. Thank God for that. My next point is forgiveness brings hope. So much hope. There's a story in Acts chapter 7. It talks about a man named Stephen. Now, Stephen was an amazing guy. He basically helped start the entire church, the foundations. He was in charge of all the finances, kept things in order. And it says that the Holy Spirit was with Stephen. And what I love about Stephen is God gave him this amazing ability to win any debate. Like, he'd be in an argument, and he would just win it. And this started to frustrate people in the Jewish synagogue because they would want to debate him and they'd be in these long, constant debates and Stephen would always come out on top. And I know I've experienced this in my life where there's people in your life that are just so good at debating and they always win and they always prove their point. I'm married to somebody like this. So as soon as I figured out that she's always right, I'm a lot better off. But the people in the Jewish synagogue, they weren't going to humble themselves like that. They weren't going to say Stephen was right. So instead, what do? They falsely accuse Stephen. They set him up, and they entrap him, and then they bring him out, and they begin to stone him to death because they say he was blaspheming, which he wasn't. And as he's dying, Stephen has the forgiveness inside him because he looks up as he's literally being stoned to death, and he says, Lord, do not remember this sin against them. He was offering forgiveness. Even when he was faced with death. Could you imagine being there as you're dying, as you're being killed, and having this spirit of forgiveness? There's this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that says, forgiveness is not an occasional act. It is a permanent attitude. And I believe this to be so true. You know, forgiveness isn't something that you just do once in a while, and you're like, well, I guess March 20th at 1 p.m. I can forgive so-and-so, and I'll be good. Instead, it has to be something that is part of our character, something that just exudes out of us. You know, blessed are the hearts that are quick to forgive. Stephen was an example of this, even when he was dying. Stephen is often thought as the first martyr for Christianity. A martyr is someone who gives their life for what they believe in. Their convictions are so deep. Their beliefs are just so ingrained in them that they are willing to give it all for what they believe in. And Stephen's actions that day inspired many people. We see many people that reference this, and even today we have martyrs for the Christian faith. One of the people that witnessed Stephen being stoned to death was a man named Saul. And Saul wanted to persecute the Christians, and I talked about him earlier, how he had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And at first he thought this was a good thing, that Stephen was being persecuted, but later it just inspired him to do so much because I believe that forgiveness can give so much hope, right? It can change people's attitudes and people's minds. And when you see someone who's willing to give up everything, I mean everything that they have for their faith, it's just something contagious about that, something you want to follow when you say, yes, what is it that makes him feel that way? And the answer was Jesus. And Paul gets to experience that. This brings me to my next point. Forgiveness gives a second chance. And I talked about this earlier with the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. We see how she is given a second chance, all because of forgiveness. Last week, Cam talked about the Samaritan woman at the well, and we realized that this woman, too, was given a second chance. And Jesus made a point of going into Samaria to visit this woman with the well. He could have went around, as was the custom for most Jewish people, but he knew he had to be there. He knew he had an appointment with this lady and that he wanted to meet her and say, you know, I know you've been sinning. I know you're caught in adultery as well. You're with the man right now who isn't your husband. You've been married 5 times, but he wanted to give her forgiveness. He wanted to give her life, and he's always looking to give forgiveness. I believe that is what the church should be preaching more and more, is that we don't condemn you. We don't hold your sins against you. You don't have to be super righteous, because grace is enough to forgive us. Forgiveness should be easy. But what Satan does is he yokes guilt and sin together. And so every time we sin, we feel this guilt that is on us, but it is from Satan. When Satan deals with temptation and sin, I believe he has a twofold attack. First, what he does is he takes our temptation and he minimizes it. He says, it's not a big deal. Come on, everybody's doing it. You're not going to hurt anybody. Just give into it. It's just a little thing. It's not that bad. Come on. And so we give into our temptation, and then Satan changes gears, and he starts making us feel guilty for the sin we just did. And he said, how could you do that? What were you doing? What were you thinking? You're sick. You're twisted. You're a pervert. Or he might say things like, you're not good enough. You're a loser. God could never love you for what you just did. And we begin to tell ourselves these lies, and it brings us down into a pit of depression. Depression is running rampant, and so much of it has to do with the unforgiveness that we have, because we don't believe God will forgive us. Well, it was too bad. Satan, he deceives us. He tricks us. That's how he works, amplifying our sin. This strategy Satan uses just piles on the guilt. It's all it does. And we live this guilt in our lives, it seriously limits us. Like, if you're walking around all the time with this guilt over you, you're not going to be able to live the life God has for you. You're not going to be able to share the joy that he's brought into your life and the freedom from sin, because you have guilt. We should not be ashamed to talk about what happens behind closed doors. We should not be ashamed to talk about our sin, but what our culture has done is made us ashamed. What happens behind closed doors stays behind closed doors. Just hide it away in the broom closet. But thankfully, with God, there are no closed doors. God is all about bringing things into the light. God is light, and he hates darkness. And the more of Jesus we have in us, the more our light can shine, and the less dark areas there are. Here's what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. You yourselves used to be in darkness, but since you have become the Lord's people, you are in the light. For it is by the light that brings a right harvest of every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Goodness, righteousness, truth. These are all things that we should be longing to do as Christians, as followers of God. Goodness, righteousness, and truth should be what we're chasing after. God knows our sins. And when Jesus died for them, we no longer need to be held captive for them. We get a new life, and we are saved. It's amazing. The grace of God is amazing. It's so amazing. We sung about that this morning. Amazing grace. Amazing. God, he forgives us, and it's completely undeserved. We don't need to work for it. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing you have done or ever will do that can keep you from God's amazing grace. I thank God that I not need to live under the guilt of my sin. God will forgive you over and over. His forgiveness has no limits. Sometimes I'll sin, and then 5 minutes later, I'm doing the exact same thing, and I ask for forgiveness again, and sometimes I feel like, what am I doing? Like, God can't forgive me for the same thing this short together. Like, I just feel dumb sometimes, but God's like, no. I want to forgive you. I long to forgive you. Don't live with that guilt. Amen. So my next point is forgiveness gives life. I believe this is why we are Christians. When you decide to become a Christian, you recognize that there's sin in your life, and you realize that that sin shouldn't be there. You also realize that there's nothing you can do on your own to get rid of this sin. It's wrong. And when you accept Jesus, you realize that your Lord and Savior is the one who can begin to fix it, and forgiveness has been freely given to you. All you need to do is acknowledge and accept the forgiveness of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It says he is faithful. He is just. These are inspiring words. Faithfulness is something that we don't know in our society today, but it just means that he will be there over and over and over again, no matter what. It's a faithful relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus when we enter into him, and he's faithful and just to forgive us every time. And he does this because he loves us so much. John chapter 3, verse 16. You guys all know this verse well. We hold signs at sports events. John 3, 16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only one begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All because of the gift of Jesus that he promises us. When we accept Jesus and are forgiven, we get a new life, a fresh start. All our sins are wiped away. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. Mercy. And their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember only for a couple days. No, it doesn't say that. And I will remember only for a couple years. No, it doesn't say that either. I will remember just for centuries. No, it says I will remember no more. Why is this such a hard concept for us to grasp sometime that God's not going to remember it anymore? That's because we remember, right? We say forgive, but we don't forget. But thankfully with God, he forgets every single thing we've done. And since he's forgotten what we've done, we don't need to be guilty about it. Amen? He'll remember them no more. They're erased. They're gone. God wants us to be forgiven in order that we have a new life in him and experience all the blessing he has to offer. You know, there's a time that God gave me this picture and this vision. There was this man, and he was bound. He was chained, chains coming all off him. And at the end of every chain were these huge rocks, and they had words written on them. Words like guilt and fear, words like pride and anger. And this guy was just stuck, going nowhere. But Jesus showed up, and he pulls out this sword, and on that sword is the word forgiveness. And Jesus begins cutting these chains away, one at a time. And before you know it, this guy is free from his burdens, and he's lifted up, and everything about him has changed. You know, he has this downcast look on him, but when he is free, he is smiling. He is joyful. You can see the light inside of him. That is the image that God wants each and of one of us to experience. And he wants you to experience it. He wants me to experience it. He wants everyone in the city to experience it. He wants everyone to the end of the earth to experience it, which is why we need to be sharing. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. That's why we all need forgiveness. None of us are above the forgiveness. When that woman was caught in adultery and the Pharisees, they thought they were above forgiveness. They thought they had a right to judge, but no. They had sin in their lives. Every single one of us has sin in our lives, and every single one of us needs this forgiveness. The Bible says also that whoever the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? That means we all get to be free, truly free. It's not this thing that's fake, that we're just like, oh, I'm free and we can sing songs. No, it's a true release. It's in the spiritual realm that happens. It's so deep and so real that it can only come out in the physical. We're not meant to be held in that depressed state. You know, I heard a stat that it said that 50% of the people that are in hospital today would not be experiencing those illnesses if they weren't so depressed, if they weren't so anxious. Because what happens in our mental mind can affect us physically. So it's so important that we are not living under that depression. But there's more. This is my last point. Could have been my first point because of the importance of it. Forgiveness needs to be shared. Not only do we all need forgiveness, we also need to be offering forgiveness to people around us. God gives us clear examples to follow. God looks at us and his son Jesus, and he says, I forgive you. I forgive all of you. Unfortunately, this is not our human nature, is it? we like to hold grudges. And we like to say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. I urge you to find it in your heart to forgive all who have wronged you, even the deepest hurts. It's so important that we can get past them, that we can move on through things that we suffer with. Earlier I was talking about how forgiveness from God is freely ours. All you have to do is ask. This is so true. You know, if you want forgiveness from God, all you have to do is ask. But there is something in the Word of God that says he might withhold forgiveness from you if you don't do this one thing. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. Amen? But, and I love when Jesus says, but, not really, but, he is making a point. But, this is important. But, listen up, you have to hear this. But, if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is something we don't like to preach about. I just had 4 points on how God's grace is so amazing and how all of us can experience, and all we have to do is ask and he will freely give it to us. And now we see that if we hold unforgiveness in our hearts, God will hold his forgiveness from us. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins. That's a hard pill to swallow, at least for me. For me, that was really convicting when I read it. And I was like, oh, ouch. Here I am living in God's grace, God's freedom, but holding unforgiveness towards people. And God says, no, you can't live your life that way. How will you know how great God's forgiveness is unless you're forgiving those people around you? If you want to truly live in the forgiveness of God, if you want to know what true unconditional love is, then we need to be displaying it ourselves. And that's not an easy task. Some of us have been harmed so deeply. Some of us have gone through so much suffering that we couldn't even possibly begin to start to forgive those people who wronged us. Sometimes it's easy, right? Sometimes someone asks for forgiveness and you're like, yeah, it's no big deal. I forgive you. Other things we hold on to. Other things we can't let go of. The unforgiveness you hold on to in your heart, it doesn't harm the person that did wrong to you. It doesn't do anything to them. All it does is it holds you captive. This is the truth that you need to realize, that unforgiveness is doing nothing to that person. It's only hurting you. John Bevere talks about this in his book, The Bait of Satan. I'd recommend that you read it. In this bait of Satan that John is talking about is offense. An offense that is held onto, it will only lead to destruction. Offense will ruin your relationships. Offense can make you depressed, and it all stems from an inability to forgive the person that did you wrong. Satan knows all too well that if he can ruin relationships, then he can take down the church. That's what the church is based on. The church is based on relationships. Us doing life together. That's why small groups are so important, because we can open up, we can share life together in a biblical environment under the freedom and grace that Jesus gives us. But Satan knows if we offend one another and we get on each other's nerves, that causes dissension. And then we'll leave the church, we might go to another church, we might not go to church at all because of a silly little thing called offense. And Satan knows that if he can get that in our hearts, then the gospel won't be preached. How are most people converted to Christianity? The truth is, most people are converted to Christianity through their actions, because they see someone else living this life free from sin, not holding on to offenses. Do you know people like that, that are so quick to forgive? And they see those people and they're like, I want some of what he's got. I want to live in the freedom that she's living in, right? You see it in people all around us, and you and I are called to be those people. Those contagious Christians that people want to come to church. They want to experience that. They just enjoy talking to people like that. They know they can be open and they can be honest without condemnation, without judgment. I challenge you to look inside your heart today and ask yourself, what are you holding on to? Which person has hurt you? Who have you not forgiven? I think we all have somebody in our lives, maybe more than one person, that we haven't forgiven. We just say, there's no way And we hold on to that hurt. We think somehow that's helping us out, but it's not. Pray to God. He will give you the strength to forgive even the deepest trespass against you. And when you do it, you're going to be able to move on, and you're going to be able to be free. I promise you that. I've forgiven people in my life that I never thought I could forgive. And I've also experienced forgiveness that I didn't deserve. I've hurt people, and they've shown me forgiveness. And why? I don't deserve that. I hurt you far too much. But can I tell you, the strongest relationships are those that are based on forgiveness. Marriages that experience this amazing forgiveness are stronger than before. You think it's the offense. You think it's the betrayal that tears marriages apart. It's not. It's unforgiveness. It's holding on to those things and not letting go. Because truly we don't believe in our hearts, maybe, that God has forgiven us because he forgives us so easily. But we're all sinners. Right? Your spouse may be a sinner, but you're a sinner too. We all deserve forgiveness. Learn how to give forgiveness freely. First, ask God to forgive you. Second, ask anyone you have wronged. If you know you've committed offense against someone, say, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And third, offer forgiveness to everyone around you. You know, I love the example of prayer that Jesus gave us, the Lord's Prayer. Right? It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It ties right into that verse. We are asking God to forgive us as we forgive those people around us. And that is the beauty of the Christian walk. That is the beauty of a relationship with Jesus, is it's meant to be shared. It's meant to be declared. It's meant to be bring us together in a closer relationship. And once we're free from that burden of unforgiveness, we can truly live that limitless life. We need to let go. Jesus, he's the perfect example of letting go. Right, there he is, hanging on the cross, dying for our sins. What's the first thing he says? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Isn't that amazing? Not only is he dying, but he's being put to death for something that he didn't do. He's being put to death for my sins and your sins, holding him on that cross. And he says, forgive them. He's in such physical pain, such agony. It says he was separated from his own father during that time. The father turned his face away and God says, forgive them. That's the example we're to follow. I believe if we all forgave in this revolutionary way, people would be lining up outside of churches. They would be breaking down the door to get inside of churches because they would say, man, I want that freedom and that forgiveness. So it's on us to forgive those people around us. When we freely forgive and live lives free from the weight of the guilt of sin with no limits to the forgiveness received and no limits to forgiveness offered, we can live in unlimited forgiveness. Amen? And we can live those unlimited lives that God has for us. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for this message. God, and I thank you even more for the sacrifice you made of dying on the cross for our sins. I thank you that there's nothing we had to do to earn that grace. I thank you that there is nothing we had to do except experience the fullness of your forgiveness. God, right now I just want to pray with anyone who's holding unforgiveness in their hearts. If that's you here today and you're struggling letting go, you're struggling offering forgiveness to someone who has harmed you in the past, could have been yesterday, it could have been 20 years ago. Whatever that is, God, I just pray that you would bring it to the mind of the person I am praying for right now. God, just bring that person to their mind and that heart. They may have buried it down for many years. They may have hidden away. They may think about it every single day and get angry and resentful. But whoever that is, Father, bring that into their mind right now. And God, I would ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would soften their hearts and you would change their hearts. And you would give them the courage to to say, I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. I forgive you. Three words. God. Three words that you give to us that we need to offer to those around us. I forgive you. God, I pray for healing today. I pray for healing in your people. I pray for healing in your church. God, we need to celebrate the victories. Father, today we will celebrate victories, God, of having freedom over unforgiveness and having freedom over the guilt of the sin that we bear, God, that may we truly live out in your grace, truly live out your freedom, God. Lift these burdens off of us. We were not meant to carry these. We were not meant to carry these alone, God. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, release your people today, God. Release your people from all of the burdens of guilt. Release them from fear. Release them from depression. All through your Spirit, God. Right now, I want to pray with anyone who hasn't given their life to Jesus, who hasn't experienced this free gift of grace, of forgiveness, something that you paid so much for, Jesus, that you had to die on a cross for us to experience. You had to shed out your blood for us to experience, God, but all we have to do is accept that sacrifice. It's freely given, the free gift that we could never afford. If that's you here today and you want to say, Jesus, come into my life, it's easy. All you have to do is say this prayer after me. You say, Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner, and I know only you can take away this sin in my life. Jesus, I long to follow you all the days of my life. Make you Lord and Savior over my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now with our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you said that prayer for the first time, I just want to encourage you to lift up your hand today. Just lift up your hand. You said that prayer for the first time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God, I just want you to bless your people as we go out today. May they have a pep in their step when they know that they are free, and you, who you set free is free indeed. Amen. Amen.